Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 170 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. And I am excited about today's show. Finally have some guest on once again today, and I do say guest plural. It is Jason and Tom Skull from the Skullbuster Wrestlecast. It is a podcast that I listen to on a regular basis. Thanks to Chad. Chad had introduced me to Tom and Jim's top five. Tom Skull and Jim Doubt are the host of that. And from there, I was introduced to Jason and Tom on the Skullbuster Wrestlecast. And I've been listening for several months now. It's a great show. They have great content. Jason is the same age as I am. And I feel like we have a lot of the same wrestling history knowledge. So it was fun to kind of talk and, you know, pick his brain a little bit and talk to Tom as well. Tom is about a decade younger than us, but has learned a lot from his brother Jason, as he will credit him during the course of this podcast. And, you know, it's great when you're able to do a wrestling podcast or any kind of podcast in general. I think there's a very awesome community out there when it comes to collaborating together or having, you know, switching out and having different guests on. You know, sometimes you think of it as being competitive. I don't look at it as competitive at all. I think that if you can add a few more shows into your rotation, if you aren't already listening to the Skullbuster Wrestlecast and Tom and Jim's Top 5, I would highly recommend both of those shows, along with the other shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Of course, Chad has Positive Cynicism, and actually, Tom is going to be Chad's guest this week as well. So it's Tom Skull week here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. If he knew anything about Nebraska Cornhusker athletics, perhaps Greg Mahochka could have him on the Five Heart podcast. There's also Nerds United, which I feel like Tom could pick up and help out on that show as well. But yeah, be sure to check out all the programming here on Jittery Monkey, jitterymonkey.com. Of course, all your usual spots to find and download your podcast. And you can also find Jason and Tom that way as well. Again, it's Skullbuster Wrestlecast. We'll hear from them in just a few minutes. Want to talk about a couple of other quick things before we get to the interview for today. And that is Elimination Chamber is coming up, of course, this Sunday, if you are listening, the week of Elimination Chamber. And I will have more thoughts on Elimination Chamber. And, you know, today being President's Day, again, if you are listening on Monday as the show drops, if you head on over to youtube.com/my123cents, subscribe to the channel, please, and I will have some different thoughts on Elimination Chamber, authority figures in professional wrestling to go along with President's Day. So head on over there, check that out. And again, the blog, my123cents.com, you can get caught up and up to speed on things. Stride Pro Wrestling has a show, a big show, fundraiser show, actually three shows coming up in March, and I'll have more guests and more on that coming up in the weeks to come. But Tony Flood is getting a shot at Jay Spade for the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. That'll be a great match happening at Christopher Elementary School, where both men attended way back when. And these two actually trained together too, so it's going to be a very, very good encounter between these two. They have all the skills and have all the wherewithal to make things happen. I also want to mention our friends over in Cape Girardeau, CCW Cape Championship Wrestling. It is One Night Riot. It is a 20-man battle royal. It is the Riot match, and the winner of that match goes on to face the best of the best, Austin Lane, in the main event that night. Gregory Iron will also be on hand. I don't know if folks remember Gregory Iron from when he wrestled in All-American Pro Wrestling. It was a pleasure to have him on board with us as well. But again, One Night Riot happening on Saturday, February 24th, over there in beautiful Cape Girardeau, Missouri, my old stomping grounds back in my college days. But Stride, again, has a show coming up on the 3rd, the 10th, and the 24th. We have a poll up, or had a poll up, over on the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page soliciting votes who you would like to see come to Stride, whether it be Ryback, Billy Gunn, Crash Holly, Jerry the King Lawler, or the $1 Million Man, Ted DiBiase. And the last time I checked, Ryback was winning that poll. So maybe a Heath Hatton, Ace Hawkins versus Ryback match 6 years later from when they encountered each other on Extreme Rules. I don't think that's really going to happen, but it's fun to speculate and fun to think about those kinds of things. But please, if you haven't already, check out Stride Pro Wrestling over on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, along with My123Cents. And of course, the Collar and Elbow brand. If you go to collarandelbowbrand.com, buy your pro wrestling merchandise, t-shirts, hats. I believe they have a line of sweatpants now as well. Buy those items. And then when you go to checkout, use the promo code MY123CENTS and you save 10% right off the bat. So that is a quick little sum up of what's on my mind right now. Head on over to the Facebook page for My123CENTS, like that, and stick around for Tom and Jay Skull.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My123Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Hey guys, as you've probably heard on Chad's podcast, Positive Cynicism, you know this week he's going to be talking to Tom Skull. Well, I've scooped Chad. Not only do I have Tom Skull, who is the host of Tom and Jim's Top 5, but also the Skullbuster WrestleCast, I also have the co-host of that show, Jason Skull. Gentlemen, thank you so much and welcome to My123Cents, the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'm going to start with Jason for just a second. Jason,
well,
he
is the champ.
Yes, he is the champ. And we'll talk about that championship here in a moment. But Jason, I feel like you and I are pretty close in age and have kind of a similar background in terms of wrestling. So tell listeners a little bit about when you kind of got involved and your fandom in wrestling started.
Well, I'm 44. And so I got into wrestling through my friend Paul. My first event that I saw on television was WrestleMania 2. It was on, I believe it was on Showtime in circulation. You know, back in those days, Showtime would pick it up and they would show it through the summertime. And so when I saw that, I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't necessarily hooked on the WWE product per se. I kind of just started as, okay, what's this? Let me check into it. And that's how I kind of branched over and found Jim Crockett Promotions on WTBS.
Okay.
And that was really what sucked me in.
Okay, we are the same age. And I was just a couple of years started watching a couple of years before that. And, you know, I can remember when WWF was airing on TBS. That was kind of when I started watching. And World Class is what hooked me and then kind of propelled me into super fandom. But Tom, you are younger brother, obviously. So did you get involved because you were watching what your brother was watching?
Yeah, it was more I got involved because I was forced to watch what was on. I didn't have much of a choice. We have another brother, too, that you know, also, you know, Jason's 9 years older than me, and our other brother, Mike, is 6 years older than me. I didn't have a choice on what was on TV ever until they left home. I fell in love. Jason would always watch, like, wrestling, and I, of course, when I was, like, five, I would say, of course, I fell in love with Hulk Hogan. I was a Hulkamaniac. I mean, that's, you just, you know, to kids, that was the greatest thing ever. But Jason would watch a little bit of AWA, which was on ESPN, which was later, but really got into the NWA, and that's where in my first experience, like, seeing, like, Ric Flair and stuff. So I loved Hulk Hogan and the whole cartoonish thing because it was geared towards me, But once I got a little older, I was like, man, this stuff, you know, this real wrestling is kind of what we thought of it, at least I did,
sure,
that NWA was. It wasn't the cartoonish characters. And so I just kind of fell in love with it just because I knew how much Jason liked. And we could relate with that. Like I said, we're 9 years apart. We didn't have a whole lot to relate to besides G.I. Joe and wrestling. I think those are the two things that we really like. So that's kind of how I fell in love with it. And, if there was no Hulk Hogan, there would be wrestling would be so different nowadays because so many kids got hooked when he was the Hulk, you know, Hulkamania running wild.
So. Absolutely. So you bring up Hulk Hogan. Are you in the camp that he will eventually come back and be a part of WWE once again?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think so. I think this year it will be there at some point.
Yeah, I agree. I think at some point they will bring him back. They don't necessarily have to plaster him all over their television, but they can certainly have him make some appearances. I think enough time has passed. As unfortunate as the situation was and as stupid as the words that came out of his mouth, I mean, he is still the marquee name in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally
agree. It's amazing what... You know, with everything else is going on in the world in the last couple of years, that one thing's holding him away from WWE. But there's a lot of other people out there who've done worse things that, you know, are like welcome back. So it's kind of interesting why some people are blackballed and not. But he'll be back. I agree with Jason. It just was unfortunate what he said, but I think other people have done unfortunate things and they've welcomed them back. So.
Absolutely. So, Tom, we mentioned at the top, and in all seriousness to Chad, because I do owe him for this interview, because I would say probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 months ago, he told me about a podcast called Tom and Jim's Top 5. And then from listening to that, I was then led to Skullbuster WrestleCast. So you guys have been podcasting for just over a year now, I believe, for both shows. Yep. Is that right?
Yeah, but we started Skullbuster WrestleCast, and then I started Tom and Jim Top 5 all on the same day, November. I can't remember. It was like November 12th or something. I don't know, Jason, if you remember, but it's been mid-November. Yeah, so it was a year ago in November. So
what made you decide to do not just one podcast but two? And they both kind of have their unique qualities that I think first-time listeners can pretty much instantly get hooked to and go back and listen to your archives too.
Yeah. Well, the original question, you said what made me do two podcasts at once. I'm sure liquor was involved because it was such a stupid idea to do, I mean, I'm glad we did, but to start two on the same day in before the Christmas rush. My real job in life is a mailman, and November gets, it starts to get a little busy in my line of work.
Uh-huh.
And so that was really stupid, but it worked out. And I don't know, like the Tom and Jim one, you know, my friend Jim and I do that, and it's a pop culture podcast. And it started with him and I would text back and forth, like, hey, what's your five favorite comedy movies right, you know, out there right now? Or what's this? It was just like a bar stool conversation. And then we found out, like, hey, we both like listening to podcasts. And we were like, this would make a fun podcast. And we just bounced it around for a couple months. And then, we came up with a name before anything. And then my wife just ran with that name and made a logo. And I said, you know, I looked into it, Jim, and it's not too hard to get this started. So let's do it. And then at the same time, I was talking to Jason about how much we always listen to wrestling podcasts, such as, you know, Ric Flair's podcast that was out at that time, and Jim Cornette and stuff. And it's like, we can do this. And it, for a small investment, pretty much anyone can have a podcast. And, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad we did it. And, that it's gotten as big as they both have. I can speak for Jason, probably you can say it yourself, but we're very surprised on the amount of people that have been listening to us. You know, it's pretty cool.
And the best thing about it, you know, when we got started, we didn't know where we were going with it. And eventually it led us into kind of this little network of other podcasters here in Minnesota that we, you know, we just became really, really great friends with. You know, we've got I mean, it's just been kind of this really, you know, almost like a brotherhood in a way. You know, not only Tom and I are getting closer, because, you know, because of the age gap, there wasn't a lot of stuff we had in common other than some of the interests we had. But I mean, because of such an age group, we didn't spend a lot of time together growing up. Now that we're older and we get to sit here and talk wrestling once or twice a week, it's just been a blast.
Yeah, and I like that you guys sometimes you will pick you always pick a topic and then you kind of delve into it. The last few weeks you've gone back and talked about some past shows. So Jason, as kind of the old school guy, or, you know, who lived it around the first time, how much of that are you remembering and how much are you kind of having to go back and refresh your memory with?
Well, honestly, I can remember quite a bit with, you know, specific events like Starcades and Great American Bashes and things like that. We just went over an ECW event last week, mm-hmm. and I had to kind of go back and research it. But I do remember watching it, you know. And so when you go back and watch it again on the WWE Network, it's like, oh, yeah, I remember this. And it just kind of floods back to you. You know, all through the years of watching wrestling, there's been a lot of stuff you kind of retain. I think I've retained more wrestling knowledge than I ever did going through school and doing, you know, having a job.
Yeah.
It's like, I could tell you who won the world title in, you know, WrestleMania 9, but I can't tell you 2 + 2 sometimes. You know, it's just one of those things.
Don't let him fool you. He does not need to research anything we talk about. Jason is such a savant with this. Like, I don't know if you can tell. I mean, just a little peek behind the curtain, but when we're doing our show, I'll just lob something out there because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm
like, yeah.
Well, what about this match on this day? And then Jason will just run with it. He's not looking it up. He just knows it all.
Yeah.
And you're being modest, Jay. You are a genius when it comes to this stuff. And that's bull crap about the ECW show. You remember everything about that show. So.
Oh, yeah, so you obviously
know anything about it? Yeah.
Well, thanks for the kind words. You obviously got the check I sent in the mail.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
Well, it's weird for me too because I feel like, you know, the stuff that was probably when I first started watching up until about right before the Attitude Era, I have great recall of. But then after that, I'm like, you know, and stuff that even happened last year, I go back and double check because I'm like, okay, what? I think it's so much going on. And then, of course, you get older and things start happening. So, Jason, yeah. that knowledge and that memory has served you well. Tell us about the championship that you currently hold right now.
Oh, yeah, the Battle Bowl Championship. The guys over at Ring General Radio, they're another podcast in the same town I live in, and they each year they do this, what they call the Battle Bowl Trivia Contest. It's the third year that they just had, and we kind of reached out. Tom reached out to them through a mutual friend from another podcast and just said, hey, we'd be interested. Let's, you know, here's our information. We'd like to get involved, and they let us in, and we kind of had to start at in the wild card rounds. Well, Tom and I did, and it just was you had a matchup each week. You could pick a topic. A topic was chosen for you. It was you know random questions, things like that, and you just kind of get lucky. You got to answer questions. The trick is to pick some things that you know inside and out. And hopefully you can kind of fake your way through another topic because, you know, a lot of the people we faced, and Tom can speak to this, they're picking current stuff. I mean, I went against a guy who picked Baron Corbin's NXT career. And I was
I
don't watch Baron Corbin on SmackDown. What am I going to know about NXT? So then I had to kind of like, well, he's not going to know about Starrcade 87. And I know that event inside now, and I've talked about that till I'm blue in the face.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of – you kind of have to get lucky, but you also have to kind of be, you know, strategic with your topics and make sure that if I'm going to go old school because I think I can, I know a lot of these other guys cannot. Now, if you get in and we go head-to-head, I might not be able to repeat as champion, but that's another story for another day.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I enjoy what you guys do. So, Tom, how did you fare in this tournament?
Surprisingly, I did really well, which was a shock to everybody. But I got third place. I mean, it could have been a skull versus skull champion. I lost in the semifinal round to the other guy that Jason beat. But and I did really well. And I think, and honestly, and not just to toot Jason's horn even more because he's got a big head already, I didn't realize how much knowledge I knew about wrestling through listening to Jason through all the years and us just talking about wrestling. I didn't know how much I actually retained until we started doing these questions. I think my first topic was WrestleMania 4.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, I remember WrestleMania 4. But I'm like, oh, do I really remember it? So then you do a quick, like, Wikipedia search. And I'm like, okay, I remember the matches. And I watched it on the network. And I thought, I'm going to do poorly. And I ended up doing really well. So, yeah, it's, you know, I was surprised how well I did. I think I surprised everybody how well I did. But, I would have lost so bad to Jason if I was in the championship. So, yeah.
Well, we are our buddy Bob, who if you listen to our show, yeah, he pops up every now and then. Well, he made the prediction that it was going to be an all Skullbuster championship, and we were that close. We were that close to actually fulfilling his prophecy. But you know, I took the championship, and it was kind of fun. It was, you know, as a family man, and not getting out too often, it was kind of one of those things like, hey, I get to use some of my useful knowledge or useless knowledge if you listen to our dad, and basically and win something. So I got a prize for it. You know, they gave me a little mini Winged Eagle championship belt, and so that's sitting in my trophy case along with some other things. But it's like, it was cool. It was just a lot of fun. And like I said before, we met some really cool guys, and now I think they're, you know, some of our best friends in the whole world, and we're going to local events with them and things like that. So it's been a really, really cool ride so far.
That is awesome. Yeah. And you mentioned, and I know that you both have family. So what are the wife's responses to you guys being wrestling fans and so into this?
Well, my wife doesn't, you know, she's fine with it. She's not going to watch it. If I am watching it, she'll show a little interest in it. Like, she'll ask about certain things. A lot of times she has comments about the women. Mm-hmm. You know, like, why is she wearing that? You know, like, I don't know. But she's fine. She gets a little nervous about my son watching it. So I'm careful what things I do watch around with him, just to ease him into it. Because he wants to watch what dad's watching. So we just... We're a little leery on that, but I mean, she thinks it's great that I do this podcast with Jason, and that I have a hobby, and you know that my hobby is not out at the bar drinking; it's in my basement drinking. Yeah. But it's no, I'm just kidding. it's cool. So she's really cool with it. She's pretty laid back.
Yeah, when I first met my wife, it was in 1997. And that was like, you know, the heyday of the Nitro versus Raw. And so our other brother, Mike, and I were living in an apartment here in the Twin Cities. And we would watch Monday Night Raw all the time, or Monday Nitro all the time. Uh-huh. And we would kind of record Raw and go back and watch that. But my wife kind of, once I met her, we started dating, she kind of got interested. And she probably was only interested because she wanted to hang out with me because, you know, I'm such a handsome devil. But
whatever.
But yeah, but I mean, she kind of stuck with me all these during that time, and nowadays, I mean, I'll turn on Raw and we'll watch it, and that, you know, that's, she'll ask questions and things like that. She was always a big fan of Edge and stuff like that.
Uh huh. Yeah, I got my wife to go with me a few times when we were first dating, but I think it was the same kind of situation where it was more to hang out. And then once actually I moved to where I am now in Southern Illinois and met Chad, I'm like, there's a bigger wrestling nerd than me. So she was happy to kind of switch places with him. And Chad, I don't know if he's told you, we've been to 9 WrestleManias together. So
we
used to go, like, there was a stretch there where we went every year. And the last time we went was in 16. And we had talked about going this year, but decided not to. But we'll eventually go again. Do you guys do – I know you went to – was it WrestlePalooza up there?
Yeah, Minnesota? WrestlePalooza. Yep.
Do you guys do a lot of other – when WWE comes to town, or are you able to go to a lot of shows?
Go ahead, Jay.
Well, I don't typically get out to, you know, the WWE stuff, but I, you know, for a few years we were kind of going around to the local independent promotions – I work with a woman whose husband is a professional wrestler in the Twin Cities area.
Oh, cool.
And so it just kind of drifted in and started following him around to all the local events. And so, you know, there's quite a few companies here in the Twin Cities that have sprung up, and they're doing it every Friday and Saturday night. And so just kind of got going into those. My oldest son started coming with me, got really excited about it. He does not like the stuff on television, but he'll love going to a local event and screaming his head off at the heel or whatever. And so when WWE comes to town, I typically don't spend a lot of money on that. I mean, it's ultimately, to me, it's like I pay for the network. I could watch it at home for, you know, $10. Mm-hmm. The live events are just typically matches you're going to see on Raw and SmackDown anyway. So to me, I don't like to fork over those kinds of dollars when they can go to, you know, children's activities at school. You know what I mean?
Sure, absolutely.
But if WrestleMania were to come to town, I think I would definitely go to that if they get it at the US Bank Stadium.
Now, weren't there rumors at one point that they were going to come to that stadium?
Yeah, there was talk.
I think Vince hates Minnesota.
Yeah, something like that. But apparently somebody who works in the board or whatever, I don't even know what you call it, who's running the stadium, had worked for the WWE in the past. And so there was a connection there somehow. I don't know if he's still with the U.S. Bank Stadium commission or anything like that. So there is a potential opportunity, especially in light of what happened with the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, it was big business. I think WrestleMania could do the same thing. They tend to stay where it's warmer, though, because they want a lot of, you know, people to be outside and things like that.
But they're going to New York next year. So.
Yeah, well, they've done New York, and that's their stomping grounds.
It's their backyard.
New York doesn't get as treacherously cold sometimes as Minnesota does.
I was the same way that Jason mentioned. I would go to some of the house shows. '97, Nitro came to Duluth, Minnesota, and did Monday night did Nitro live, and that was awesome. My friends and I got like third row seats, tickets, and that was a blast. And then a few years after WCW, before they closed, came back with house shows. And then after they closed, then that's when WWE would come to Duluth with house shows, but they haven't been here in a long time. And I'm like Jason, I would rather go to these independent shows. It's stuff you don't see. Like we have so much access now to WWE content that I don't have a lot of interest in going when it's in town. I think some people, it's coming to La Crosse, Wisconsin soon, I think, and that's not far from us. And I don't think Jason and I responded to that group of friend texts where it was like, because we don't want to go. I don't want to spend my money. Now, he said, like, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, yeah, I'm going to go if it's close enough. But I didn't even have that much interest when Tables, Ladders, and Chairs was here in Minnesota. I gained interest at the last minute when Kurt Angle was announced he's going to wrestle, and Finn Balor and AJ were going to go, of course, but... yeah, I just like the independent stuff. It's way more fun. You're so up close and personal with it. It makes it a lot more fun, and it's an alternative to what we see every single week that gets pretty repetitive. So
the independents that are up in your area, are they pretty much Minnesota based, or do you ever get a chance to see any of the other maybe bigger independents like Chikara or Ring of Honor?
Well, Ring of Honor does come through here once a year. They are in a suburb. They go to a suburb called Hopkins, which is just outside of the, you know, it's part of the Twin Cities here. I've not been to one of their events, but I've heard that they put on one hell of a show. I don't think Chikara has actually come through here. At least I don't remember it. Most events here are just, you know, Minnesota based. Every once in a while we'll get a big name, you know, from past WWE days, or, you know, maybe an Impact star of some kind. But mostly it's the Minnesota guys, or, you know, Dakotas, Iowa, you know, just regional guys that are, and women that compete at these events.
Yeah. What is your and I know you guys will probably save part of this for your show. So what is something that you would like to see as we're on the road to WrestleMania, and maybe not necessarily a WrestleMania match or anything like that, but this buildup that we're getting to now, what do you hope to see one big thing maybe come out before we get to WrestleMania?
Go ahead, Jay. I got to think about that one.
Well, you know, I would
I'm going to guess it's not a Baron Corbin championship run.
Let's put Baron Corbin and Randy Orton together. There's your winner.
Hey, they should be a tag team. They would be the forget it. I would love everything right now, and everything since WrestleMania of last year has been screaming Lesnar versus Reigns. I would love them to just shift gears and just say, nope, we're not going to do that. We're going to do something different.
Yeah.
It seems like they're planting seeds, like they could go a different direction. Especially with this Elimination Chamber, they keep adding people. Soon there'll be like 30 people in that match, just kind of be another Royal Rumble. But I would definitely love them to just flip the deck a little bit and just say, you know what, Lesnar is the champ, but let's throw somebody else at him. You know, maybe a Finn Balor. You know, I'm not a big fan of Finn Balor, but I'd definitely like to see him face Lesnar over Reigns facing Lesnar again. Mm-hmm. Just something different, yeah. You know?
Yeah, I'm the same way. It's so hard to surprise wrestling fans now, and it's and especially we have so much access to the, you know, everyone's reporting Dave Meltzer or Metzler, as we like to call him, and all these other people who report. A year ago, we heard it's Brock versus Roman Reigns, and we're like, oh, and almost like, even if it was going to be that, why'd we have to know?
Right.
Like, why can't you keep some stuff secret? And I know it's extremely hard to do that nowadays. I get it, but I would just like to be surprised every once in a while. And I don't know if we'll ever get that back because there's no, you know, kayfabe's so different. It's a way different now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just like to be surprised and see something different, a shocking moment that, because anytime you talk about shocking moments, it's all stuff that from 10 years ago or later. So, or earlier. So right. I would just like to see something different. I don't know what that is. Unfortunately, I don't care too much for the current product. I thought Royal Rumble was great. I would like them to, you know, have another great couple pay-per-views leading up, like just like that one. But I just don't know if we can get that. I'm even being too cynical about it. But
and you're a big NXT fan. You don't watch Raw or SmackDown live on USA. You kind of get the recaps, right?
Yeah, I get the recap. I can't do it, man. I can't do it. I cannot turn on the TV and hear Stephanie McMahon for 25 minutes on top of my show. I can't do it. I'd rather jump out a window. And so, like, I recently made that. I stood up on my soapbox and I recently made that. I'm not watching anymore. I'm only going to watch NXT, because NXT is exactly what we started this show talking about, what got us. And NXT is great. It's an hour long wrestling show with wrestling right off the top. And you get the story within the ring. You don't have to have someone out there talking about this and that and having the authority figure bury all your talent. It's more fun. So I like NXT. It's fun. And that's probably why I like independent wrestling so much, like we talked about. It's just, it's different. And I'm sick of the same old, same old. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the best thing about NXT is it feels organic in a way, even if it is slickly produced like it is. You don't have overkill. So like if they bring in a guy, let's just say it's Samoa Joe, and he's there for a year and a half, maybe 2 years tops, and then moves on to Raw and SmackDown, and then they bring in another person and basically replace them, and they're equally as great as the person they just replaced. That's the best thing about NXT. You think of it as kind of like the minor league promotion, but it actually isn't. I think it's the better program because you're getting something that, you know, you're getting something for a traditional wrestling fan, you know, an old school fan.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows, because Triple H is that kind of a guy. He's running the program. He grew up kind of watching the same stuff that we watched, you know, that the 80s wrestling, and you can tell by the way he wrestled and the way he carried himself as a character, it was definitely an old school character. He would have fit in perfectly in Jim Crockett Promotions back in those days. And right. I see him continuing that on, but also factoring in all this new stuff that we see, you know, in the current world, and it just kind of becoming this melting pot, so to speak.
So I'm good. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I was gonna say we talked about that when Star Wars came out this year, and we're such big Star Wars fans, from old school Star Wars, and just like wrestling fans, mm-hmm. and we both didn't want to hate on the movie. We both just, I think, equally agreed, if I remember right, is like, you know, it's just not. This isn't my Star Wars anymore. They're not making it for me.
Yeah.
And I feel like all three of us probably, and you throw Chad in there as well, we're all the same age group, you know, with what we liked in wrestling. And that's why that's why I like NXT so much, because that's the wrestling Triple H is making for me, the fan I am. Raw and SmackDown, they're making that for the new generation of fans and people. And then so we have shows just to bitch about it, of course, but they know what they're doing and who they're focusing on, and it's not me. NXT is for me. And so I think that's what it is.
So, and based on what you guys have said on the shows in the past, I'm going to venture to bet that you think the future with Triple H at the helm is bright compared to maybe Vince McMahon and doing what he's doing as of late.
Yeah.
Definitely. I just kind of said, you know, the reason we love NXT, you know, why we like watching Matt is because of his influence and what he's bringing back from the old school world and into the new. You know, there always is a time when a coach has to step down, an owner retires and sells the team. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. Vince McMahon is no longer going to be, you know, Mr. WWE. Either it's because he passed away or he finally retires. Triple H is going to be the guy who takes over. And I think it got it in the back of his mind. I've seen in interviews where he doesn't necessarily agree with the way things are going now. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's not going to come out and flat out say it.
Right.
You know, he's, so when he does take control, him and his wife, I mean, when they take control, I think you're going to see a major shift in how this stuff is presented.
Can you believe the guy who was squashed by the Ultimate Warrior 22 years ago is arguably one of the most powerful men now in sports entertainment? It blows my mind to think about it. But he, you know, and people hate on him, I think, but he really has proven himself, I think, as far as that administrative or managerial type, you know, kind of calling the shots from behind the scenes.
Yeah. Well, you read in a lot of interviews that, you know, whether they're friends or people he's worked with, they've all said the same thing, that this guy has studied this business inside and out. All the guy did was listen and pay attention. He didn't get involved with the drugs and the alcohol. He didn't chase after skirts all the time. I mean, he was eating and breathing this business, and it shows. Now, is he perfect? No. Are you going to agree with everything he's going to do? No, but you know, that's just the way life is. I just think from my point of view, I think because of his approach and his old school mentality, that you know, he's gonna. It'll be better once he takes the reins. And you know, if I'm wrong, then I'll just stop watching.
Well, Vince is going to be there until he's 115, so I guess it's going to be a while. So.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, as we kind of wind things down, I'm going to ask you guys each a question. And who from past or present, anybody involved in the wrestling business, if you could sit down and just have a meal or have a beer with, who would it be and why?
Well, Jay, go ahead. I already know Jason's answer. Go ahead.
Well, I would say I would love to sit down with the guys from the Four Horsemen,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, if I wanted to pick one person and not make it so obvious, I think I would love to actually have a conversation with Jim Cornette.
Really?
Yeah, I don't necessarily. You know, I think he's got. He's just an interesting person. I don't necessarily agree with everything that he says and believes and stuff, but I think the conversation would be kind of interesting.
I think you're right. Yeah, that would be.
To say the least. Mine would be Brooklyn Brawler. No, I'm kidding. It would be Tracy Smothers. No, I would love to sit down. Like, and we listen to him all every week, Tony Schiavone, his show. I would love to sit down and actually have an actual conversation with him and just about how things are, you know, were. And I just feel like that would be so much fun listening to him. And also sitting down with, you know, say no, my favorite of all time is Sting. And I mean, I don't know if I could get through. That's the one person that I would be like shocked to be in the same room with. I don't get like that with celebrities and stuff, but that's the one that I would love to sit down because of his path and his newfound, you reborn into faith and all that stuff. I would just love to hear about it. You know, even if I don't agree or disagree with him, I would just love to sit down with him and hear about his whole journey. So
are you Crow Sting or Surfer Sting?
Wolfpack Sting. No, I am
gross. Joker Sting from Impact.
Joker Sting was cool. Too bad nobody saw it.
Yeah.
Joker Sting was cool. Crow Sting was amazing. And it came at such a time that wrestling was so huge, they couldn't do anything wrong. But so most people will say Crow Sting, but I loved as a kid. I absolutely loved Surfer Sting. That was the coolest character to me on TV. And so I the old school part of me would say Surfer Sting, but Crow would be very close second. So.
Yeah, I was definitely Surfer Sting myself. What about you, Jason?
Yeah, I would have to say I like the Surfer Sting. I remember when he first showed up on television, and you know he wasn't a great promo, but he was exciting. He was electric. The crowd loved him. He looked like a million bucks. And you know, Dusty Rhodes was booking at the time. He knew what he had in him.
Yeah.
And they pushed him to the moon as quickly as they could. He came at a time when they were doing the same thing with Lex Luger, and they obviously became like the two big baby faces at that point in time. But yeah, definitely Surfer Sting because of just, you know, where I started out, man.
Absolutely. Jason, how can folks get a hold of you guys, your shows, and keep up with you on social media?
Well, we are on Facebook. We're the Skullbuster Wrestlecast. We are at Skullbuster Pod on Twitter. Is that right, Tom? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's right. I think Kevin okay. and Kev know exactly how to say it.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm not a Twitter guy, but I am. I'm at 5150 Skull. So if you want to reach out, you know, I'm always taking on followers. I don't say a lot on Twitter, but you know, I read a lot of stuff on there.
and I'm at tskull44 on Twitter. And Jason, you mentioned where you can find us on social media, and then we're our podcast host is Podbean. So if you want to go back and listen to all our shows, they're all on there. But of course, we're on iTunes and stuff too. But they only go back like 6 months, I think, on there. But you can go back and find us anywhere, pretty much. So,
and I'll have a link to your shows. And Tom, yeah, one last question about Jim: is he a wrestling fan at all, or?
No.
Yeah,
no,
I was going to say we probably will never see a top five with anything wrestling, huh?
I'm trying. I would love to, but I don't think he ever. You know, he didn't grow up a wrestling fan, and so I don't know if that would work. I could, if I got him drunk enough, maybe I could convince him to do it. But you know, he'd have to do a baby. He's not allowed to do anything these days. So.
Yeah, I remember those days. Well, guys, thank you very much for being a part of this. And I definitely, you know, just talking to you both, got some new ideas for future shows that I would love to have you back for if you're game. So thanks again so much for being a part.
For sure. You got to be on our show coming up soon at some point here.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll work something out. Everybody, thanks so much for listening. Be sure to have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.